Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
That are hopeless, and he puts us in their life or around them for a reason. And they're going to turn to us and draw out of our life like a well. And until they get it for themselves, they're going to get hope from us. Until they get faith for themselves, they're going to borrow our faith. But your life is going to change when you don't have to depend on somebody else, but your hope, your faith, comes straight from Jesus. Cutting out the middleman. You know, when you have bad service at a restaurant or establishment, and you say, I want to talk to the manager, or you're on the phone for 30 minutes with AT&T, and you say, I want to talk to your supervisor, what you're saying is I want to cut out the middleman and I want to go to the one that can make decisions. And so I want to encourage you that you and I, hopefully in our maturity and our walk with Christ, we are able to go to Jesus anytime that we need something, anytime that we want something, we go to Jesus and he freely gives to us. And might I remind you that God has so many good things for the people of God. That his life and who he is an inexhaustible warehouse. He has more hope than you will ever need, more joy than you can stand, more peace than you will ever need in a certain day or certain moment. And so I'm glad that we can go to the source at any time that we need to. But until they find Jesus like we found Jesus, there's a lot of people that are going to pull on our hope. They're going to pull from our peace. And so we have to be overflowing, which Romans 15 talks about, overflowing with hope so that when we give hope away, we in turn don't bankrupt ourselves trying to help somebody. They say one of the worst things you can do if you are not a strong swimmer is to try to save somebody that's drowning, because they'll drown you while you're trying to save them. And there's a lot of us that we have attempted to help people and attempted to give people what we have, not knowing that we don't have enough or we don't have anything. And then they get frustrated because we've been talking about how good God is. And then as a representative of God, we're empty when they came to us and expected us to pour into them. And so Keep Hope Alive is not just for us. It is for everything connected to us. Last session, we talked that hope must be a main ingredient in our lives. 1 Corinthians 13 says that there's three main ingredients of life: faith, hope, and love. Love is the foundation of both faith and hope. That if you are not motivated by love, your faith and hope do not matter and they will not work. We talked that there's four things that we must do with hope. We must resurrect hope. 2023 took it out of some people. 2020 and COVID took it out of some people. The election cycle frustrates and takes it out of people. Your 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week, it takes it out of you. Your ex-spouse, your baby mama, your baby daddy, it takes it out of you. But I am here to tell you, we are called to resurrect hope around us. We are called to resurrect it first for us and then resurrect it for others. Resurrect hope. Number two, build hope. Number three, once it's been resurrected, once you have put it together, you must protect your hope. Don't let anybody steal your hope. You know, I've been stolen from. I don't like thieves. And the thing is I've had my truck was broken into twice at Alamo Cafe on 281 in Bitters. I don't know if that's God's way of telling me no more tortillas and queso. But now when I go to Alamo Cafe, I don't take my truck. I get a ride from somebody. The first time they broke in, they got a Starbucks gift card that had about $3 left, which if you go to Starbucks means you can't get jack squat. And they stole the maybe $8 or $10 of change in my console. Here's the thing. You didn't have to steal it. If you needed 12 bucks, I would have given you 12 bucks. You don't have to beat the window out. I'll give it to you. And there's a lot of things that are trying to steal from you, and you're letting them in with what you've got to be able to discern who is there for you to minister to, or who is there to who aggressively take what you have. I will give it to you freely if you would ask. So we must protect our hope, and then we must give hope. First in us, then in others. We ended last session talking about an enduring hope. Enduring means long-lasting, long-suffering. When I think of long-lasting, this 2 weeks ago, they finally ended fruit stripe gum. Y'all remember fruit stripe gum with the zebra? It was good for about 2.5 seconds. You just keep adding it, and same with Chiclets. I love Chiclets. But it's not, some of our hope is like that. Our faith is like that. It's good for 5 minutes at church, but the moment that the devil rears his ugly head out there, the moment that life happens, we find out that what we had, our hope, was not an enduring hope. Enduring means long-lasting, long-suffering. But I love the last definition. It means it's permanent. Permanent means it's here to stay. You need to let the devil know and put him on notice in your life as a believer. I'm standing on the word of God. Jesus Christ is my hope. He's my anchor. And I am not going back. This is a permanent decision. A few years ago, one of my friends from high school literally Facebook messaged me and said, "Are you still doing the pastoring thing?" I was like, "I'm not test driving a car, man. I'm not working down at the car wash. This is not a job to quit. This is an assignment. You don't quit an assignment. You finish an assignment. You finish a calling, and I'm nowhere near to stopping." If you have hope in your salvation, then you can have hope in anything. You have hope in your salvation. You can have hope in anything. And we ended Romans 5:5. Your hope in Christ will never lead you to disappointment. I've never put my trust in the Lord and then he let me down. The only time I've been let down, church, is when I put my hope in myself. I put my hope in things, or I'm misguided and put my hope in other people. In my study time this month, as we dive into some new things here this morning, in my study time this month, I found a great definition of hope. And they're going to put it on the wall. Write this down. Take a picture. Hope is vision for a better future that changes us now. Hope is a vision for a better future. So it is a future thought. You're thinking about tomorrow. You're thinking about next week, next year, next decade. Hope is a vision for a better tomorrow, but it changes how you act now. That means you can have all hell break loose in February of 2024, but if you have hope in Christ that outlasts February and moves you into March and April, you're not going to act like the world acts when their world falls apart. You're not going to act like the world acts when you get bad news. Why? Because my hope is in Jesus, and the Jesus I serve is already standing in March. So I don't have to fear about anything that happens in February. My hope, it changes the now. Even though hope is a future-focused church, it will change the now us. There's three things that I want hope to solidify in your life today. Hope should change how we pray. Because a lot of times we pray because of what we're going through. And when we pray because of what we're going through, a lot of times we remind God of what we're going through. When guess what? God doesn't need to be reminded of what you're going through. He sits high and looks low. But what I can say is in the middle of the storm, God, I know that you are with me. And God, I know that you said that we're going to go to the other side of this. And so God, in my mind, I'm already in the sunlight. I'm already on the other side of the storm, and so I'm not going to act in the middle of the storm like I've lost my faith. I'm going to stand here with all my faith and all my hope and say, God, you promised it for tomorrow, so I'm not going to freak out today. Hope should change how we pray. Hope should change what we say. As I wrote this down the last couple weeks, and I said, all right, God, I'm big on declaration. I'm big on words that come out of my mouth and things. And people, because I've mentioned a couple times health opportunities that I've had this past year, people point blank ask me, hey, what's going on? And I won't even put it into words what they're saying. And you say, well, are you naive? I'm not naive. That's why I'm getting in better shape, because they said something and then I changed, praise God, what had caused me to be that way. But I'm not going to give the devil any glory. I'm not going to let him see me sweat. I'm not going to let him. And so what we say holds power, but I want to just put this out here, and Tyler will declare this every 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm glad he keeps it in front of us, because some of you are dealing with prodigals. Can I encourage you to start talking about your prodigals like they're already home, not like they are today? I love when I talk to a parent and I say, hey, how's so-and-so doing? And I love when they say they're out there building their testimony, because what they're saying is, Pastor, right now I don't want to put into words how they are, but I have hope, praise God, that there is a testimony to the test, praise God. And at the end of this process, they're going to be able to glorify God of all the things that he saw them through and kept them through. Hope should change what we say. If you can't speak faith, and kids, cover your ears. Shut up. Quit talking about the president when you can't rule your house. Quit talking about everybody else's relationship and concentrate on your relationship. I'm trying to take my family to heaven. I'm trying to keep my marriage strong. What you say matters. And then hope should change the focus, or the direction of our focus. If God has promised me something and hope is a better vision for tomorrow that changes me today, then that means my focus cannot be on what's behind me. My focus can't be on the clutter and chaos around me. My focus has to be on what God has called me to be, where God has called me to go, and it has to be founded in the Word of God. Change your direction and you'll change your destination. And my destination is hope, praise God. If we really have hope for our future, we will see a change in us now. I want to encourage somebody that is a not a cup half empty person, but a cup half full, an optimist, a faith-filled person, a positive person. Never apologize for being a person of hope. Never let somebody talk you down off of that ledge called hope, where it takes faith every day to wake up and declare the Word of God. Don't let anybody say, well, that's just pie in the sky and you got to come back to the real world. No, this is the real world. I'm creating the real world that I want to live in. The world you live in, that's not the real world. The real world is one that is centered and focused on Jesus. Never apologize for being a person of hope. Never. We all know that person that's way too happy at 6:30 in the morning. Janice, is that you? Sister Gloria did not even smile and pointed right at her daughter and said, that's her. Because it takes some of us a little while to get warmed up. And then once we get warmed up, all those of you that were excited at 6:30, y'all are dozing on us. Never apologize for being a person of hope and faith. I would rather be full of hope than full of fear. I would rather be full of hope than full of doubt, full of worry, full of depression, full of anxiety. Hope is, I have a feeling that tomorrow is going to be great. Worry is, I have a feeling that tomorrow is going to be terrible. Your choice is to be hopeful or full of something else. And some people I know are full of it. Be full of hope, not full of anxiety, not full of depression. Be a person who champions hope, church. Be that person on your job. I promise you, your bosses will look at you different when you're that voice of faith for your company. When you're that voice of faith for your team, when you're that voice of faith for your family, that voice of hope, champion hope means support it, means talk about it, means declare it. Be that person of hope. Be that for somebody that needs hope today but is not yet connected to Jesus. Be that person who says, what if? Not what if it fails, but what if it succeeds? What if everything goes right? What if just, what? Not what if, not I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. What if the other shoe never drops, praise God? What if the shoe drops and it's Gucci, praise God? Why does it always got to be bad? What if? Or how about change it to when? When it happens, when you get healed, when you get healthy, when you get delivered, when it gets better, when you get changed, when you get transformed. For a believer who knows and stands on the word, hope means something entirely different. Write this down if you're taking notes. For a believer, hope is more about the promisor than the promise. Hope is more about Jesus than what he promised us. When our hope is tethered to a person and not a promise, it changes everything. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. This is where our main text has come from. Verse 13 is what we read today. But let's read verse 12 to give us some context. Paul writing to the church at Rome, to one of the most pagan cultures there was. A church has started. Romans are now coming to Christ by the thousands. Paul is writing to the universal Christian church in Rome. In a pagan culture and a godless culture, and he's talking about their hope in Christ. But I love what he says in verse 12 because it gives us great context for verse 13. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. That's me and you, praise God. Talks about the seed of Jesse. Talking about the seed of David, talking about the son of David, talking about Jesus Christ. It said the Gentiles will hope. And then our main scripture, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you will overflow with hope, church, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I myself, verse 14, he goes on to say, am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. In the time that I have left, we're going to break down verses 13 or 14 in the Amplified Version. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. The first thing you have to know for this verse to become true in your life and for hope to become the constant and to become the norm of your life is that God is the source of your hope. God is the source of your hope. You need more than a Sunday sermon or a rah-rah Wednesday night. You need to connect with God, who is always going to make you hopeful, who is always going to fill you with hope so that tomorrow you have an expectation that it's going to be better than it is today. God is the source of my hope. It said the God of hope fills you with joy and with peace. Our hope in God fills us with joy and fills us with peace. I'm not going to tell you and go through the long diatribe about the difference between joy and happiness, but I will tell you that joy comes from God and happiness comes from happenings, which means if you are depending on happiness, you're always going to have the right things. Hope doesn't just work in the right things. Hope works best when everything around you is not as it is promised it would be, and you can say, my hope is in God, and when I am weak, his hope gives me joy. Joy is the strength to face it. Peace is the mind to face it. Said his our hope in Jesus fills us with joy and peace. Joy is the strength to face it. But peace is the mind to face it. You need to be as cool as a cucumber in the face of adversity. When you have bad things happen, when the devil brings everything he can against you, you need to be able to live your life in such a way that brings God glory and that does not bring the enemy glory. We used to have testimony service here at Living Way when we'd pass the mic around. One of the reasons why we quit is because somebody's would take 3 minutes to give their testimony. And out of those 3 minutes, 2 minutes and 55 seconds were glorifying the devil and all he was doing in their life. And then at the end they'd say, but God came through in the nick of time and rescued me. I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to give the devil any credit. I'm not going to give the devil main place on the platform. I'm going to talk about the goodness of God. I'm going to talk about the faithfulness of God. I'm going to talk about the word of God. His joy is the strength to face it. His peace in us is the mind to face it, that we don't think like them. It goes on to say, God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In believing, in the Amplified Version, means through the experience of your faith. that by the power of the Holy Spirit you will abound in hope, in believing. In the NIV it says, as we trust. And I love this. It says that the God of hope will fill us with joy and with peace as we trust. Not when we trust. As we trust. Not after we trust. As we trust. I love what God has shown me about this text, and I talked a little bit about it on Wednesday night. I love that God is working working simultaneous with us as believers. That when I'm doing something, He's doing something. When I'm pushing forward, He's pushing forward. When I'm working at His house, He's working at my house. When I'm giving to Him, He's giving to me. And when I am looking to Him and connecting with Him, He says, as I trust Him, He's filling me. He's filling you with joy. He's filling you with peace. He's filling you with hope. As we trust, believe, have faith, our hope is being built. Then it says this, in believing through the experience of faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, church, multiplies and magnifies our hope. But check this out, our hope in His promises, the Bible says. The Holy Spirit gives you hope that the Word of God still works. I talk to people almost every week. Somebody messages me, somebody, a troll comes at us on Facebook, somebody sends a nasty email, and they talk about how the Word of God is not inerrant, and the Word of God is filled with many mistakes, and how could God let man write His Word, and all of these things. And while they're so busy trying to disprove the Word of God, I'm out here living the Word of God. I'm out here standing on the Word of God. I'm not going to throw my pearls before swine, and I'm not going to stand there and argue with a fool, because the Bible talks about you become the fool when you argue with a fool. You can talk about how it's not true. You can talk about how it doesn't work, but I'm over here saying I know it works because it has worked. It's always worked. It will continue to work. I love those that say you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost in 2024. Got to me too late, because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and I have a heavenly language. I love when people say, well, God doesn't do miracles anymore. That ended in the New Testament. Number one, we are the New Testament. The New Testament never ended. We are Acts chapter 29, and you got to me too late. Why? Because my wife was born crippled and God healed her. My son had eye problems and God healed him. My daughter didn't talk till she was four and God healed her. Pastor Becky's beat cancer 3 times. My brother's beat cancer 1 time. My dad's beat cancer 2x. You got to me too late. Yeah, the doctors did do some of that. Chemo did work sometime, but in other times, God just worked the miracle while they slept, while they prayed, while they served. You can't tell me my hope is magnified by the Holy Spirit in the promises. Verse 14, I love what he says. Personally, I am convinced about you. Remember, he's writing a letter. He's not standing in them. This is all by what he's heard about the church in Rome. He said, I am convinced about you, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness. You're amply filled with all spiritual knowledge. That's wisdom. And competent, meaning you're able to, you're at the level of to admonish and counsel and instruct one another. Let's break down verse 14 real quick before we end. He said, personally, I'm convinced that you are full of the goodness, full of spiritual knowledge. Hope in Christ fills you with 2 things. It said, because you're full of hope, God fills you with goodness. Then it said, he fills you with spiritual knowledge, fills you with wisdom. Some of us are praying the wrong prayer, and we need to start praying the prayer of Solomon. God, give me wisdom. Some of us have been praying about him, and I want her, and I would like to date him, and I would like to be with them. And God's saying, no, let me give you wisdom. Because wisdom will tell you you're wasting your time with him. And I've got another him over here that's going to blow your mind. There's a lot of us that are praying about things that if we had wisdom, we wouldn't have to pray about. We could just walk them out. Is that too deep on a Sunday? We're praying immature prayers when we could be saying, God, give me wisdom so that I think like you. So that the Holy Spirit that has filled me with hope, that has now in turn filled me with goodness and wisdom, why does he fill us? He tells us why he fills us. He doesn't give you wisdom to go count cards in Vegas. He doesn't give you wisdom so that you can become the first trillionaire. Now he could and it might, but he said the reason I filled you with goodness and the reason I filled you with wisdom is he said, I've done it so that you are now competent to admonish, counsel, and instruct one another. Check this out. He said, I give you hope. When I give you hope, and your hope is in me, listen to this, church, it's so powerful. He said, I give you joy, and I give you strength. The Holy Spirit multiplies all that you have by my promises. He said, but that hope will fill you with good things. And that hope will fill you, come on now, with wisdom. Not so that you can sit around the church and stroke your beard and talk in platitudes and get real, real deep and in the weeds and the Greek and Hebrew. He said, I did that because you weren't competent before. But now that it's made you competent, so that when you leave this room, church, when you're sitting in the cafeteria tomorrow, he said, you are now competent. You are now more than prepared and able to now give this hope to somebody else, to now give this joy to somebody else, to now give what God has given you to somebody else. Stand on your feet. I'm going to end with what Pastor Mandy encouraged me with this morning, encouraged us with this morning, that you cannot give what you don't have. And this is more than a song, Keep Hope Alive. And it's more than a mantra and a slogan that we're going to put at the end of our emails, which I do, and put at the end of Facebook posts, which we do. And it's more than a hashtag. This world needs hope. I watched the only really national news I watch is the 30 minutes after the 5 o'clock news on NBC. And they were doing, it was during the New Hampshire voting. And the interviewer that was doing the story got on a bus full of New Hampshire college students. And now these college students, they are the epitome of culture and all of the bad things culture is. Both genders and those that didn't know their gender were on that bus. Every color. And they said, what are you going to do if your only choices are President Biden and former President Trump? And I want to say, out of maybe 18 or 20, with the exception of one or two, they just said, if those are our choices, we're not even going to vote. It's over. How would you like to be 20 years old and having lost all faith in your future? They're going to get a degree, going into massive debt for a degree that they will probably never even use. And when they look to their future, they said, there is no future if these two are on. And that's why I wish I was on the bus to say, there's a third option. And he's the best option. There's another choice. And he's the only choice. That is why my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And as hope has arisen the last 2 years, my joy has. I was blessed yesterday when Mandy told me, and she didn't have to tell me this, but she said, you've changed recently. It was a good change. I've had the other conversations. She said, you're nicer. You're more pleasant. That's the joy that has come with hope. Some of us are so mad, so angry, so bitter, so frustrated Because hope has been coming from here, but it hasn't entered here. And hope has been something we've typed out, but it hasn't hit. That Jesus, my hope is in you. Nothing else will do, God. My hope, God, is in you. I'm going to end it with this, and the altar's open whenever you want to come. But there's three things that our hope in Jesus will do and what it proves. Number one is, I have hope in the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus saves, it heals, and it delivers. The biggest churches in San Antonio today will not mention heaven, hell. They will not mention the blood of Jesus. They will not mention the power of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Some of them will not even mention the name of Jesus. But as long as I'm alive, and as long as I can hold a microphone, this is going to be a Jesus house. It's going to be a blood house. It's going to be a Holy Ghost house. It's going to be everything the New Testament is. So number one, I have hope in the blood of Jesus, because it saves, heals, and delivers. Church, I have hope in the Word of God, because the Word of God transforms our life. It makes us like Christ. And the final thing is I have hope in Jesus' return, that He's coming back. That changes the direction of my focus. I'm going to say this as kindly as I can, but as plainly as I can. Some of you really don't believe that Jesus is coming back. Oh, yes, I do, Pastor. I believe 1 Thessalonians. No, because if you believed, you would change. Remember, hope is a better vision for tomorrow that changes you today. If you believe Jesus was really coming back for a church, you'd be able to put the joint down. You'd be able to love your family. You'd be able to step up to the plate and be the dad and the mom that He's called you to be. You wouldn't miss the house of God unless you were in the hospital, on your deathbed, or out of town. You'd be here every, what can I do, Pastor? I love David and his family. David Rodriguez, Judy, and Gia. I love them. I'm going to brag on them just for a minute. And I always check my heart. And give me 60 seconds, because I want to brag on them, and I hope this makes a good point for somebody. If you want to get on Mandy's good side, love Jesus, love the church, be kingdom-minded. You want to get on her bad side is manipulate people. If you manipulate people, you're going to see a Mandy that you've never seen before. So I always check my heart when I ask somebody to do something, because I don't want to overdrive sheep. I don't want to put on people more. But since they've joined leadership and joined serving, I've texted David a few times. Hey, David, we're needing help with this. Is there any way? And I always give them an out. Hey, if you can't, no worries, not at all. I'll find some help. Every time, Pastor, this is our church. This is where God has placed us. Anything y'all need us to do for the church, we're available to do it. He doesn't do that for me. I'm just like Him. He doesn't do that for you. He does it because He knows that God, He deserves all that we can give and do. But He knows that Jesus is coming back. And He's not coming back for somebody. He's not saying, well done, thou good and faithful Bible school student. Well done, thou good and faithful person that memorized 300 scriptures. Well done, thou good and faithful person that read through the Bible every year in its totality. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And hope changes those things. Hope in His blood, hope in His word, hope in His return. We've got five that have already broken the ice. The hardest thing to do is to be the first one or two to walk down an aisle, to step out, maybe excuse yourself through somebody sitting on you saying, man, I'm going to go down. Could I get out? I want to encourage you today to make that step today. The count of three, I don't want you to think about anything else. I want you to think about you, Jesus, And then I want you to think about where your hope is. And if your hope needs some solidifying, if your hope needs some focusing, I want you to step out of your seat and join your peers, your brothers, your sisters in this altar. 1, 2, 3, get out from your seat.